Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to The Dave Glover Show, sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
DG Ass and KMOX. You want to hear a sweet, weird love story?
Sure.
Couple in Utah named Jenna and Mitchell Brotherson are in the news after telling the story of how they got together. They were dating in 2020, and Jenna broke up with him, and then Mitchell suffered a serious concussion while out skiing and didn't remember the breakup, so he thought they were still dating. One thing led to another. She decided that maybe dumping him was the wrong call, so they stayed together and got married 6 months later. They just celebrated their fourth anniversary.
Talk about a do-over.
Right?
I'm sorry, what was the gentleman's name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell, that was smart. I'm not sure I'm buying his story.
Like, what do you mean?
What if he faked it? Yeah. What if he was like, hey, I don't remember us breaking
Every
up.
Every show I've ever seen about amnesia, I'm like, oh, I could fake that.
Dave, like, accidentally hits his head on the door as he's walking out. He's like, oh, amnesia.
Damn. You remember how obsessed Andrew's been with Mudang the hippo?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the millennials, they've been replaced by a younger, cuter generation. There's now a baby pygmy hippo named Haggis out of Scotland who's only 12 days old and has taken over the internet away from Mudang's old ass.
Those little guys are fun, man.
Haggis.
You looking him up?
Yeah, that's a terrible name, by the way.
Uh-oh. Why?
It's just, I don't know. Haggis. Mudang sounds cute.
Mudang.
Look at Mudang's cute.
Mudang, there's always going to be someone younger, cuter.
Always. Yeah. You're always going to be replaced.
That's why you got to develop
skills.
Man.
That's right. Vacay while the sun's shining.
Yep.
A mom in Texas named Elise Ogletree reclaimed the world's record for largest donation of breast milk by an individual. She originally broke the record in 2014 after donating more than 400 gallons. Another woman passed her, but now she's got it back after running her total up to just under 700 gallons.
Wow.
Right?
That is crazy.
Said she thinks her total is closer to 1,000 gallons, but around 300 of what she donated didn't count. And she's fed over 350,000 babies.
Aww.
That's crazy cool.
Right?
It seems like a weird story until you hear that at the end.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Glad you guys laughed at her, heathens.
We didn't laugh at her.
You laughed right in her face.
I mean, I laughed kind of about it, sure.
You're like,
we were just like, that's a lot of breast milk.
I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, when you're talking in terms of gallons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even 1 gallon's like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa. Yikes.
That's kind of wild.
You can now skip Donald Trump's entire term and take a 4-year cruise. It's called the Skip 4 Cruise. It's, want to take a shot at how much it is for 4 years? I'll tell you.
120,000.
I was going to say 100, yeah.
256,000 for one person. 320 per person if you have a double room, and that covers all of your food expenses and excursions for 4 years.
Okay.
How does that protect you from Donald Trump? I don't understand.
Yeah.
You still get cell phone service on the
this is great.
Boat,
yeah, you're going to know. You're going to know.
Unless you're just breaking off all contact with the world.
Yeah, I just kind of...
Sorry, family and friends, we're gone.
I just kind of live on this boat now.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like you would be over it within a month?
Yes.
Of that?
Yeah.
Probably.
I would feel weird about being away.
Yeah.
Even if you're having the time of your life, it's like, all right, it's time to go back.
Yeah.
This isn't real.
Have to agree. What else captured your imagination in sports this weekend? Anything going on with the Cardinals?
Nothing new with the Cardinals, no. I mean,
are the GM meetings over with?
Yeah, GM meetings are over. Typically not much happens there. So the winter meetings are coming up in a few weeks. That's when you'll start seeing deals and free agent signings and... You know, between now and then, you'll see a few things, but that's going to be when it really heats up.
Yeah.
We did the guest house gang today. The four of us talked about all things Cardinals. So, KMOX.com. You can podcast if you go to any
what
of our accounts on Twitter.
Topics?
So we talked about a few things. One was essentially how do we think they should balance their goals in any trade? The value of what you're getting in return compared to how much money you're saving, right? So if you're trading Nolan Arenado, for example, I'm just going to use a round number. Let's say you owe him $30 million a year. So $90 million. Again, it's not that, but let's just use that. If you're taking that $30 million a year, do you want to save as much as possible? Say, okay, we'll pay $10 million. You take the other $20 million. And we'll take less in return. Or would you rather save less? I mean, all right, we're only going to save $10 million of that, but we're going to get a lot more talent in return, a lot higher talent in return.
What was the conventional gas house?
What was it? We were all basically on the side of if you're saving any money, get as much talent as you can. Like, that should be the goal. It's like buying players, right? That's essentially what the trade market is when you're talking about high salary players. Do you want to buy better talent by paying off more of this player's contract? And since they've already cut, you know, $60-65 million from last year's payroll just by letting people leave,
yeah.
I think that it would be a lot wiser to improve your chances at future success by purchasing talent as opposed to, and by that I mean the more of the contract you eat, the better the young players will be that you get from the other team. That's just how this works. And with an older player especially. So if you can make it a no-brainer for a big market contender to want Nolan Arenado, well, then you're going to get more talent in return. And that's, I think that makes more sense. Again, when you can, they have money. We know the TV deal is settled now. Mm-hmm. We know they know what they're going to make from TV. Mm-hmm. You know that the sports gambling passed. There's going to be extra revenue from that in these coming years, too. So knowing all of that, yeah, save money, right? Don't spend like you did last year because it didn't work anyway. But the most important thing should be setting the franchise up to continue to be competitive moving forward.
So how much? Who's out the door so far?
So Gibson is gone. Lance Lynn, Giovanni Gallegos, who they let go during the year. And I'm thinking just of the contracts that you're saving. Keenan Middleton, Paul Goldschmidt. So all of those are just, you know, free. You know, you're free.
Now,
you're
I'm
free
not that
of those.
Familiar with Middleton.
He never pitched.
That's why.
Yeah, he's been a major league reliever for a number of years. He's a solid guy. They were hoping he was going to be part of their like 6th, 7th, 8th inning mix and setting up for Helsley, but he got hurt early and never got back, had surgery, so he never threw a pitch for the Cardinals.
Kittredge still up in the air?
He's gone too. So there you go, that's another one. So when you add it all up, so he was probably, I think he was $3.5 or $4 million a year. Middleton was $5 million. Gallegos was $5.5 million. Goldschmidt was $26 million.
Well, I kind of like Kittredge for $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, he's going to be more than that now. That was his last year of arbitration, so he's going to be more than that. He's probably a $7 or $8 million a year pitcher, I would think, given his track record and his age and all of that. And they might bring him back. They didn't really say. You know, Tom had Mo on yesterday, and Mo mentioned something about Kittredge and then stopped himself like, well, he's a free agent. We don't talk about free agents. There may be a path to him coming back, but it depends on other things. Like if you trade Helsley, because Helsley's going to be really valuable if you trade him this offseason, you will get quality for him because a contender looks at that and says, that's one of the five best closers in baseball that I'm adding to my team for a run at a World Series. Mm-hmm. So you'll get real good quality there. So if you decide to do that, then maybe you do bring Kittredge back and spend that money because you're not spending it on Helsley anymore.
At this point, aren't we sort of loaded with position players, at least at our level?
You have a lot of numbers. The question is how many do you have that are impact players, right? And that's another thing that's got to get sorted out. You have to figure out, like, and look, when you look at the outfield is probably going to be Newt Barr and left and Walker and right and some competition or combination of Siani and Scott in center field, but they're going to want to give more runway to young players, and both of those guys are young players. And then you got to sort out, okay, how do we move? You know, if you trade Arenado, it sorts out easier, right? You can slide Gorman back to his normal position. That's his natural position to third base. Donovan can play second base. So JC can be the guy that plays second and third and short and left field and DH, and you can get him into the lineup a lot too. But they have a lot of the same kinds of guys. Right, they have a lot of people whose best position is second base, and they kind of have to fix that because their best prospect is also probably going to be a second baseman, and he's an elite hitter, and you're going to fit him in soon. He's not going to be in the minors long, the J.J. Weatherholt.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
You can tell it's fall because Mom made us pumpkin bread today.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, boys.
I liked it. You really loved it.
It was really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I just made it out of a kit. It's like the Libby's pumpkin bread kit.
Never admit that.
I'm just saying, you can get it at Schnucks. You can make it yourself.
Grandma's recipe, you made it from scratch.
Yeah, well, put it this way. You either followed the directions correctly or you did it better than the directions say, because that's better than a box
yeah.
cake.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all my fall treats in. I bought it last month, and then this weekend I'm like, you know, if I sleep on this, it's not going to get made before Christmas. And I'm not going to do pumpkin bread in December. I'm just not going to. So I did that. I also went to Schnucks yesterday morning, and I got some apple cider because I skipped over that in September and October. Mm-hmm. So I've got my fall treats going. I don't know if you guys are like that too, but it's like this is the time to eat and drink this stuff. If you miss the window, you've missed the window.
I feel you. I'm going to need some help. I had a run-in with Mother Nature. So about 2 years ago, Rach, I think you'll remember this, our big boss, Becky, brought in a pumpkin loaf from Sunflower Hills Farms. It's like $26 for a pumpkin loaf, and brought it in for Thanksgiving, and I thought it was for free, and I took it. And they had a big investigation, and there was my big old bald head live on television taking the pumpkin loaf.
Absconding.
And so I saved it, and I let it dry out. And I bought some gold paint, and I painted it, and Becky and I are going to use it as an award. Well, I have this outdoor room in the back of my house, and I guess I left the back door open, and a raccoon or a possum or something got to it, dragged it outside, and it got hit by the rain. So now I have to get another one, Sunflower Hills Farms. If you're listening, I need one so that I can just take one, set it aside, let it dry out, because I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to paint it gold. And you're going to be an awarded Odyssey. But I still got to get that thing. Got to get the loaf. Maybe I'll get two. One to eat and one to dry out.
Yeah, I mean, eating one sounds fantastic. That's what it's originally meant for.
I know, but I saved it for 2 years. Painted that thing gold. You would think that'd be enough to keep a raccoon away from it.
I don't care. They're smart. See, they just tear the outside off and eat the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the inside couldn't have been great after 2 years.
They don't care.
I guess they're raccoons, right?
They eat trash,
they're like
man.
They're trash pants.
Delectable.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
DGS. If you're wondering where Andrew is, everyone but us is off today for Veterans Day. I'm very proud to be a member of a union, very proud to be a member of SAG-AFTRA. They do lots of great things for us, but whoever negotiated the contract a few years back who gave us two holidays, you sucked. You weren't good at your job. That's not great. And if there's something great that we got, I don't know what it is, but I wish someone would tell me. Like, shut up, Dave. You get this. Because we don't get time off, which is crazy. Like, that's why you belong to a union.
Bend
them over.
There are a lot of positions in the union that, like, this is the top of the food chain that make less money than us, and they get guaranteed, like, salary raises and all that stuff built in.
So other people are benefiting.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah. They figure the hosts can fend for themselves because we negotiate our own deals and... You know, I always find the negotiation thing funny because you're like, you can ask for something and they're usually like, nope.
But you have that ability.
But you have the ability to ask.
You have the chance.
I think in my contract, I literally have unlimited vacation time.
Oh.
Because that was an easy one to give because they knew I would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
I never take it.
Because you don't do it.
I don't do it. No.
Except for the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, it's the Jack Glover in me. I just can't take real long vacations. Yeah,
it's also a fun thing, right? I mean, like when I'm not here, when I'm here, I don't go, God, I wish I wasn't. I like being here. It's
we
fun.
Do.
Well, you wish I wasn't here. I know that.
No, that's not true. When you're not here, it's like, dang, we got to talk so much more.
No kidding.
Where are all the words?
Like, I miss Andrew. But when you're not here, it's like the engine's gone from the car. Like, well, I guess if we all push real hard, we can get it going downhill.
I'm good at volume. Both versions of it.
Like when your dad had his like hip replacement.
Yeah.
I was like, God, why is his dad such a wuss? Why can't he do without a wheeler?
We need him here.
I'm really suffering here. I can't just go like, Wheels, tell me about sports, and then like go to the bathroom and come back and he's still talking.
I am kind of a wind-up toy.
Very much so.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's pretty
like it.
Awesome.
I don't want you to leave and go anywhere else, but it's almost a shame that you're not doing a show by yourself because, like, people who can do things probably should. Doctors who can do surgery probably should because there's a lot of people doing surgery who shouldn't. And there are a lot of people I hear doing shows by themselves who can't do it.
Dave, I'm sitting right here.
I'm sorry. Give me a break.
I mean, she found that one out. She sniffed it out.
I did a lot of the do your show by yourself. I did that for like 27 years. It's kind of fun being in a group.
Yeah,
I guess so. It's fun doing solo too, but man, you're talking to yourself a lot of the time.
Have you done many shows where there was no one on the phone?
Like no callers?
Yeah.
Phew. Like it doesn't happen very much because in sports radio, people just want to call and talk about teams. But yeah, there were a few overnight shifts that I did on Mad Dog Radio where you're like, I'm getting like two calls an hour, and their hours are long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how like we have canoes and commercials, and they have like three breaks, and they're all 3 minutes, and one of them's a 2 minute break, and it's like that's it, and you're talking the rest of the time.
Did you have a stratagem, or you just like just took off?
I had a plan, you know, like what we're going to talk about. What am I going to be able to? What am I going to be able to filibuster on if I need to? You know, depending on the circumstances.
Do you remember the most angry you've been on the air?
The most angry?
Mm-hmm. Or do you not get real angry?
Hmm?
Do you get real angry or just radio angry?
I'm sure there's been a few times where it was legitimately like losing my stuff. But that was probably way more when I was younger. Like I had to dump myself when I was, I don't know, like 28, 29 years old. I had to dump because I dropped the F-bomb on the air because I was yelling at a caller that was yelling at me. We were, you know, going back and forth. And then I like, hit that dump button.
If we do that, people still hear it though, right? Like, there's a record of it.
You can hear it on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, there's another reason to download that Odyssey app.
Yeah, we didn't have streaming back then either, so we didn't have any of that. The only people that could hear you were the people that were on hold. Yeah.
I remember that.
And then when you would go to them, they would be like laughing and like, oh, nice job there, dude. You let it go.
I feel like my 25th anniversary, since I've never done it, I should get one.
Get one, like, just do it and then dump it?
Yeah, just drop it. No, not even dump it. Just let it go.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't know if I'd go so far as to do that.
We'll see. Steve Moore said I could.
Unless you want the 25th anniversary to be the last
one.
And the grand finale as well.
And cut, print, that's a take.
A singer in a smoky room. The smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share.
DGS on KMOX. So I know we've been complaining about the weather over the summer and so hot and everything, but the last 6 weeks or so have been pretty sweet. Yeah. Dave Murray joined us now. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, not really bad at all. When you know, most people think, early September, it's nice, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, winter's here. It's really struggling this year, as we expected.
Yeah, yeah. So you're expecting this through the end of the month, Dave?
Yeah, I'm actually, speaking of that, the winter forecast is on the 21st, mm-hmm. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting this to kind of hang for maybe a good portion of the winter.
Oh, good.
There's a clue for you.
Yeah,
there's
good. No, that's good news. I mean,
also, a couple other things.
Yeah.
Sunset now is 4:51.
Okay.
Full moon is coming up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's in November. It's known as the Beaver Moon.
Hope you all enjoy that.
Also starting to step down to our temperatures. you know, it's a slow step down, but it's normal in November day and night. And also the tropical system that was in the Gulf of Mexico all of last week has just kind of fallen apart, though it is producing some heavy rain along coastal sections of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida. It's just a tight little batch of rain right now, but it's not tropical anymore.
Man, thank God that thing didn't hit Florida again.
Yes, I know.
Jeez.
I know.
How are those people doing that? We forget so
terrible
fast, you know?
Terrible. Yeah, we do. We just kind of walk away from it. There was a hurricane in the Naples, Fort Myers area, I think 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
People still recovering from that. Now they have this. You know, the Lahaina fire, people are really struggling there.
Yeah.
The North Carolina problems with Helene, still really struggling there. It burns my gut.
Yeah.
On what we do with this stuff.
I know. So pretty nice week other than maybe Wednesday, a little rain?
Yeah. Tomorrow looks good, sunny. It's a little cool, 57, but it is, you know, getting to be the middle of November. Lots of clouds Tuesday night. Wednesday, lots of clouds, mostly cloudy anyway. There'll be some rain showers Wednesday afternoon into Wednesday evening. Should be gone by about 10 p.m. Wednesday. Thursday and Friday look good, sunny skies. 59 on Thursday, 62 on Friday, and I'm going to wish myself a happy birthday.
Yeah,
that's right.
happy birthday,
Dave
Murray.
How old are you?
71.
Nice.
71.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's the year I was born.
Oh, thanks. That Dave, really made me feel good.
Dave, you really do look great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you know what? 71, I mean, I know I'm 60, so it's not that far away, but it no longer sounds old.
No.
It really doesn't.
No. As you get older, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, back when you were in the 20s, you thought 71, oh man,
yeah,
it's going to be terrible.
Right.
And then as you get closer and closer, yeah, when you're 60, it's like 71, no, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's still a kid. Still a kid.
I think that's true too, though. Like, it's true for your perception, but I think it's true even from, like, me looking at my parents who are older than you, but like they don't seem what I would have pictured as old when I was young. But people live more active lives longer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
My grandma looked old to me when she was in her 40s, and I look at the old pictures, and she still looked older than she was, probably 15, 20 years just because of the styles and all that kind of stuff. So, it's great.
Yeah, my dad, I mean, he fought in World War II and slung a hammer his whole career, but when he retired at 62, he looked 75 easy and kind of acted it, you know, just his body.
Yeah.
I think there's something too, Dave, don't you agree, that when you're our age, you don't want to sit down, because as soon as you really sit down for good, you kind of get old for good.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into that trap, especially when you're retired. It's just easy to say, you know what, I'll do that tomorrow. And of course, that never happens.
Yeah.
No, you've got to, thank goodness, you know, as you guys know, I have two Labrador retrievers. One is very old, but they force you to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get out. You have to move.
Yeah.
You have to go, or else they look at you like, I'm going to chew your house up.
Wheels, you were talking, or Dave was talking about the November weather, which made me think about Sandlot football, which made me think about the Mizzou game, because that Mizzou game was as close to a Sandlot football game as I've ever
seen.
That
was a rock fight.
It was nuts, wasn't it?
Awful.
Yeah, I had brunch with Nick yesterday, and I'm like, man, congrats, what a great game. He's like, great game? It's a terrible game.
I mean,
like,
it's they
we came out on top, but
they needed to win. I talked about it with Bernie on Friday when we were doing the Gas House Gang. Like, that's a game you have to win, even with your crappy backup quarterback.
Ouch.
No, Drew Pine's not good. And
you're so nice today.
And it's okay. I know, believe it's not, and it's okay to say that you're not good when you're out there trying to perform at a high level on something. These aren't, you know, people always like, they're kids. No. He first of all, he's like 24 or something like that. He's been around college for a while. But as a team that's trying to be an ascending program, and they did that last year. A team coming in like Oklahoma, they have the name Oklahoma, but they don't have the game of Oklahoma. That was a four-loss team coming into the weekend. You have to find a way, and they did. Now, it's ugly, but who cares? Ugly wins are wins.
Yep.
I mean, like, that was a really good win. It was ugly game, horrible football, but a really good win for Mizzou.
Yeah.
So it can be both.
Yeah. Do we think Brady Cook's going to be back next time?
I don't think we know, man. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of clarity on it. But if they get him back, I mean, first of all, that just football evaluation, he was not playing that well before either. but he's a lot better than Pine. Like, you can see the difference in the way that their physical ability. I mean, and I'm saying this as a fellow shorty, but Pine's small. Like, he's listed at 5'10", which means he's probably 5'8 or 5'9". And you can tell he doesn't always see things the way that a taller guy does. There's a reason teams like taller quarterbacks. And I think that that would, just having the guy that has that experience in this offense back will make you better when it happens.
Ray just heard this story. I don't think you have, but you'll enjoy it. So as like a listed at 6 feet, but every bit of 5'10", now probably 5'9 guy. But I was really fast and athletic. And after law school, when I became a lawyer, I played in this, it sounds stupid, but a super competitive flag football league. And almost everyone there had played college. Our quarterback had played 4 years as the starting quarterback at Wisconsin. He was like an exec at Purina. And he had to go out of town, and I said, hey, I can play quarterback. And they all looked at me, and they're like, well, you're pretty fast, but you can play quarterback. I'm like, 100% I can play quarterback. And I really, truly believed I could. And so the next week, I get out there, and I call, you know, like a down-and-out pass play, and they hike the ball, and all of a sudden, there's just a wall of human man flesh coming at me. And they were all, you know, 6'5", and had their monkey arms up. And I, in that moment, I not only realized, oh, you can't play quarterback, I bet there's a lot of things you think you can do that you can't. It was like a life existential moment.
Yeah.
And I will forget, I will remember that my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran the ball and, you know, like got back to the line of scrimmage. And I came back. I'm like, boys, I can't play quarterback.
I can't see.
I can't see anything. They're so big.
It's a challenge, man. It makes me respect a lot of the guys that are shorter who end up being good.
You know, like Doug Flutie and guys
like
that. Flutie,
like Russell Wilson's only like 5'9", 5'10". Kyler Murray with Arizona is not much bigger than that. Yeah, and it's impressive because it's difficult, man. I mean, think about it. If you're just trying to, if you've got a wall of 6'5" people in front of you that are blocking another group of 6'5" people that are in front of you, and you've got to see down the field, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy at all.
Yeah. Let's take a break, Rach. Come back. We'll do headlines after this. Dave, thank you. Happy birthday, my good friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Been thinking about the time you walked out on me. There were moments I believed you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, the big DGS holiday Operation Food Search Hardee's campaign kicks off tomorrow. So please just go get breakfast, lunch, and or dinner at your local Hardee's. You can round up. Hopefully they'll be asking you, each person, if they want to round up. You can give them $1 and get a DGS holiday sticker. This one is me as Rudolph, because why not? Or you can give 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000, whatever you want to give at the register. They can do that, and it's going to go straight to Operation Food Search, which is going to go straight to the kids' backpacks. So far, we are at $579,000 raised over the past 6 years. We will get to $600,000 this year, which means that you guys will have raised $6 million in food, because they can make $1 stretch into 10, and you should be incredibly, incredibly proud of yourselves for that. I can't say thank you enough. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Now, today is not just Dave Murray's birthday. It's also Veterans Day. And according to a new survey, 1 in 4 veterans suffer from depression and PTSD. The Department of Veterans Affairs says that an actual number is likely higher. But when you look at civilians, the number of those with lifetime PTSD is only 6%. So veterans experiencing a very outsized percentage of
yeah. One thing I learned when I was doing my national veterans podcast a couple months ago, And I probably would have guessed this, but the way it was presented was just so stark that I think of veterans with PTSD being combat people, and that it's just as prevalent for people who never, you know, deployed or were in actual firefights. Just something about being in the military and the commitment and the time away from home and love and kids and family and the job. A lot of people come out with it, even if they weren't under fire. Mm-hmm. So.
After Donald Trump's win in the election, searches about moving abroad jumped by 1,500%. This is according to data from Visa Guide World. Google searches related to leaving the country surged by 1,500% after the election results were announced. Do you guys think any of the celebrities who said that they were going to leave if Donald Trump wins are actually going to leave the country?
Richard Gere is going to Spain. The way I look at it, you're free. You can go do what you want to do, but don't call yourself a patriot. I don't think you're doing something patriotic. I think that if you truly are a patriot, if you truly do love the country, you should stay and try to make it better. You know, fight the good fight.
Stranded boaters were rescued by a Disney cruise ship, actually their newest cruise ship. It happened Sunday, several hundred miles off the coast of Bermuda. A ship carrying four people blew a gasket and began taking on water. The cruise ship Disney Treasure responded to a distress call and sent out a lifeboat to rescue the passengers. Now, the Treasure is not yet in service. It was traveling from the Netherlands to Port Canaveral, Florida, where she'll launch her maiden voyage next month. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Very first time out, they save people.
If the rescue boat had Mickey Mouse steering it.
Yeah, right.
Steamboat Willie.
You're in the ocean being rescued. You're like, wait, is that Mickey?
Imagine being out there thinking you're going to die, maybe starve to death or dehydration, and then a cruise ship picks you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
Disney cruise ship at that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. No one's ever even used it before.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican is using AI to help repair St. Peter's Basilica. A digital replica of St. Peter's Basilica was unveiled today, part of a partnership with Microsoft. The model will be used for virtual tours of the church, but it also has a more practical purpose. It can help identify structural damage such as cracks or fissures too small to spot with the naked eye.
So here's why, one reason I think we're living in a simulation, at least I am. So St. Peter's Basilica was shut down for months, if not years, back in 1990 when I went. And the day that we went to visit the Vatican was the day they opened it. And it was also notable because it's the most hungover I've ever been in my life. I was so completely sick and hungover, and I was miserable the entire time. First of all, St. Peter's is like 8 miles long. You think it's just one room, you know, with like the communion. And when we got in there and you look up at the, you know, God and Adam, and it started spinning, and I almost booted. I almost horked right there in the middle of it. All these pilgrims and they're crying and it's like the most poignant moment of their lives. I'm just trying not to throw up. And then I started telling people they're selling Pope soap on a rope and people were getting really excited by it. And I was taking great glee in that. What an a-hole.
Well, you know.
Pope soap
25-year-old Dave.
A rare letter signed by three of the founding fathers of the U.S. is going on sale this week and is expected to fetch up to $1 million. The document is from 1784, and it has the signatures of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson. It's addressed to the envoy extraordinary of the kings of the two Sicilies.
Cool.
The auction starts tomorrow. That would be a very cool thing to own. Maybe if I had Elon Musk money, this is the type of thing I would be bidding on.
What if you didn't? What if you had your money,
uh-huh,
but instead of a million, it was 10 grand?
Nope. No, I mean, that would just be a very dumb financial decision. It would be cool to have. It would be very cool to have, but no.
The signatures do much for you guys?
No.
No.
Wow.
I think I have two. I have two. One I got when I was a kid from my favorite major league player, and one was one of my teammates in college. That's it.
Hmm.
I can make it three if you want to.
Let's go.
All right.
All right. One more story here before we go to break. New York City got their tree. We talked about the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree being cut down last week, and now it is in Manhattan Center Plaza, where it was hoisted in place by a crane on Saturday. It'll take 5 miles of light strands with more than 50,000 multicolored LED bulbs to wrap the tree.
I saw an interview with a guy that picked it out, and he went to this farm to get a different tree and said that he was about to cut it down, and he turned around and he saw this one.
Mm, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's the tree.
Did it make a noise? Did it go, oh?
Well, there was something like it wasn't grown for this. It was just a natural tree, if that makes any sense.
It wasn't, okay, it wasn't a farm tree?
Right.
How long is that farm around if you're going to be growing trees?
I don't know.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.